The Still Loading Podcast is brought to you by the wonderful people over on Patreon. These awesome individuals such as Stephen P., Kevin from the Bit by Bit Foundation, Eric H., Gilmer, and Mr. Biscuits were wonderful enough to support the show over there. If you also want to get your name read, as well as some other goodies, go over to patreon.com/stillloadingpod and see what's offered. On this episode of Still Loading...
Hey, paisanos! It's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and guess what, y'all? My co-host with the mo-host is back. Dexter Morrill has returned. We have started a new series like we promised at the end of the Captain N series, which took us 2.5 years. Not only were we dumb enough to cover all of Captain N, we're going to be even more dumb, more stupider. Two hosts go to Jupiter to get more stupider because we are covering the entirety of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show and The Legend of Zelda cartoon. But we'll go into more details on that just a little bit. This show is over 60 episodes long and Zelda is 13. So Captain N was, 12 episodes a season? I think there was a total. There was two full seasons. So there was just shy, I think, of 30s. It was in between 25 and 30 episodes of that. This is over double the entire run of Captain N. And we're going to be covering all of this. This is a 5-year escapade that I've signed you up for, Dexter. So I'm throwing it over to you, my friend, my co-host with the mo-host. Dexter, how are you doing?
It's me. I'm back. Your patty cake pasta man.
Already with the Italian puns and borderline racial slurs.
I've got that as one of my first notes for this episode.
We're jumping right into
the stereotypes.
The amount of pasta related puns is just astronomical. And I kind of there's a quote, Dexter, later on, that had me roll on Virgo. I'd pay $200 for a nice pepperoni cheesecake. And then you hear Birdo's kid, Cheap Cheap, in the background going, cheap, cheap. And he goes, who called me cheap? I'll pay $300.
Yeah.
It's honestly, what has stuck out to me the most is you can tell this show had all the budget and Captain N had very little, not just in the animation. The animation's kind of rough, just like Captain N was, but really what it is, the writing is better, at least in this first episode. Would you agree?
Yes, I would.
I'm not saying the stories are good, but the jokes I find amusing.
I would say that the writing is pretty on par with Captain N. It feels very, they definitely feel like cousins or sister shows, however you want to put it. You could tell that they're birds of a feather.
Something like that. They're birds of something. They're birdos of a feather, if you will.
Oh.
But yes, listeners, we are back. We are discussing Super Mario Brothers Super Show. It is the first episode of Super Mario Brothers the Super Show, or Super Show. The name of this episode is Neatness Count / The Bird, written by Bruce Shelley and Reed Shelley, and it aired originally on September 4th, 1989. So this episode, the reason why there's two different titles for it is basically what made the Super Mario Brothers Super Show unique was that it had live action segments and animated segments, and the animated segments were in the middle, sandwiched by two live action moments. The live action segments were filmed, honestly, I don't know what the history of it is. I feel like maybe next episode I'll do a little bit more digging onto the history of how this show was produced, unless you know any info right now, Dex. I mean, it's not like we don't have 5 fucking years to figure this to learn more about this. But the live action segments, the live action Mario is played by, of course, the legendary Captain Lou Albano. and Danny Wells was the voice, was Luigi, and they provided the voice of both Mario and Luigi in the cartoons as well. Both actors unfortunately have since passed. Lou was obviously famous for his wrestler persona, which he was a wrestler from 1953 until 1969, and he was a wrestling manager until 1996. But yeah, so he was a wrestler, and then he, after finished wrestling, obviously he became an actor and worked with a whole bunch of other, I don't know his whole story, but he's been around. He's a legendary wrestler for sure. And us video game fans, of course, know him as our lovable Mario, our lovable Brooklynese Mario.
Yeah, our first voice for Mario, really.
I kind of love the gruff voice of Mario in this. I'm not going to lie. I'm also not going to lie. I unironically love John Stalker's voice of Toad.
Yes, no, I agree. And you can tell, like, this show, whether they admit it or not, I feel like really did influence some of the future stuff, especially, you know, the movie that came out last year. And, you know, them being from Brooklyn and things like that, I really do think was affected by the show. And especially the best intro ever was included as like a little Easter egg for being the song in their TV commercial on the movie.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, dude, this song is way better than it has any right to be. It honestly slaps. It's really fucking good. Like, it should be cheesy. I know, like, I bet you people in like teenagers and like young adults in like the 90s and early 2000s probably look back on this and cringe. But since I don't have that, like, type of, you know, I'm a little bit younger than that, I look back on this, I'm like, it's got a good beat. The lyrics are silly, and I understand it's taking it's really much one of those things, like, rap's the cool thing at the moment, aren't we hip kids, look at this rap music that we're playing. But honestly, it's fun. I really like the song a lot.
Well, that's what I was gonna say, is this kind of was right before the peak of like, my name is Mario and I'm here to say that I like to rap in a major way. Like, this predated that. And like, I think everyone was trying to copy it after that. And, you know, I think this just set the bar too high.
It's honestly not awful. It really isn't. I kind of want, like, so the producers here, the producer of the show, Andy Hayward, he also did Captain N, and like, this dude just had his hands in like every video game, like cartoon video game property. And I honestly want to try to see if I can get him in for an interview somehow. I have no idea how I would. He is he is currently the CEO of Genius Brands International, which I don't know much about. So I want to get him on at some point, but who knows, since he's a busy CEO, who knows what is going to happen. But yeah, I love the song. I don't know. Do you know who performed the song? I have no idea.
You know, I should probably peek at the credits, but no, I do not know off the top of my head.
Listeners, after doing some digging, both Dex and I could not find who performed the song originally. They credit Lou Albano and Danny Wells, but that does not sound like Lou Albano and Danny Wells. It was written by...
They did do the Mario, but not the...
They did do the Mario. That is correct. They did do the Mario. The people who composed it were Haim Saban and Shuki Levy, which makes sense. They were in charge of Deke Animation, or they had their hands in Deke Animation. They also, you know, Haim Saban also composed like the Power Rangers theme and stuff like that. They had their hands in a lot of 90s kids entertainment. But yeah, you looked it up. Who performed the Mario rap for the new movie from last year?
Ollie D.
Okay. Yeah, so far we cannot find who actually performed the original rap. I'm sure they weren't actually credited, so they wouldn't have to pay them, because it's the late 80s, early 90s, of course. But anyway, so before we get into the show in earnest, one other thing I want to bring up is that we are going to be covering, like I mentioned at the top, this and the Legend of Zelda cartoon. Now, why are we covering both at the same time, you ask? Well, back in the day... actually, Dex, you can describe it a little bit better than I can. Why are we doing this? Why are we covering both of these cartoons?
Well, those that did watch this when it was airing, which includes myself, but, you know, similar to Captain N, I was still very young, even though I was watching it. So, but I do remember that they would have little segments where they would preview like what the next episode of Zelda would be. And it was typically like every Friday they would have a new episode of Zelda that was like part of the show. And so it was spaced out where the Super Mario Super Show was every day of the week. And the special Friday thing was that Zelda would show up once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so the way we are going to pace this out is that once a month we'll do a Mario episode. And then the next month, just like we have done in the past, once a month we'll do an episode on a cartoon. But instead of just doing Mario back to back to back, it's going to be Mario this month. Next month is Mario month, so there is no episode with Dexter. But back in April, we're going to be doing the first episode of the Legend of Zelda cartoon. Then in May, it'll be the second episode of the Super Show. In June, it'll be the second episode of Zelda, so on and so forth. We'll just keep alternating back and forth until Zelda runs out and we've covered all 13 episodes of the Zelda cartoon, and then the Mario Super Show will continue, though we are still going to get to see a bunch of advertisements for upcoming episodes of the Zelda cartoon in our Super Show episodes. But that's besides the point. I think we could touch on it, you know, when we're doing the episodes in conjunction with the Zelda, but once Zelda's over, I don't think we should bring up the Zelda cartoon anymore.
No, I don't think we'll have to do that.
No, even if there is stuff in the episodes. But yeah, so that's what we're doing. That is the start of our new series. We are covering the Super Mario Brothers Super Show along with the Legend of Zelda cartoon in conjunction, just like it was back in the day. You know, you start your week off with the Super Mario Brothers Super Show and you end your week with Legend of Zelda. But this is just going to be every other month. We just alternate back and forth. But that's all I got for the preamble. Dex, is there anything else that you have to add to that preamble? Anything else you'd like to cover at the top of the show?
I don't think so. Just, you know, it's a banger of a theme song. And it's Lou Albano is so charming with how badly he dances in the intro and in the outro. It's very charming in like watching your uncle try to dance kind of way.
Yep. Very much so.
Have you seen, and this has nothing to do with the particular episode, but have you seen any of the things that Captain Lou Albano recorded for like don't do drugs kinds of commercials? But he's wearing the Mario hat?
No, I've probably have in passing, but I don't think I've actually like looked it up on purpose.
There's kind of an infamous one because like he's very, you could tell that they caught him like either in the middle of, you know, recording or, you know, doing performances or something, because he's very sweaty and he's in a room and he's like recording this, you know, monologue type thing. And one of them, the infamous one, is he goes, so don't do drugs, because when you do drugs, you go to hell and then you die. He says this while wearing the Mario hat. I'm just like, how Nintendo would feel about that now.
Dude, this is a little bit of a tangent, but so the way that you describe that reminds me of something. You know, if you do drugs, you'll go to hell and then you'll die. There is I've talked about a lot on my show whenever I do interviews. You know, Alan Alda has a podcast, right? It's one of the things I talk about a lot on the show. Well, love his podcast, but this is a wild way to connect to this. I promise it ties back into like, you know, actors saying shit like that. And this is a weird thing, but hold on, just follow me here. So on the Instagram page for his show, his podcast is called Clear and Vivid. He had an author on, the post is from January 17th. He had a guest on named Frank Felberbaum. I don't know much about him, but his choice, I don't know if I agree with the choice, but his choice was Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. Not commenting on any of that, but if you look at the comments for that post on January 17th that's showing that book, in the hidden comments, there is an Instagram account named Mash_official, and it's m.a.s.h._official. And I have never seen an account that I can't tell if this is parody or not, because I kid you not, every single fucking post is some type of like hardcore right-wing Christian propaganda picture with the MASH logo photoshopped on top of it, a pencil drawing of Alan Alda photoshopped on top of it, and then a little quote bubble of coming out of Alan Alda's like pencil drawing mouth with like some type of Bible verse. And it's one of the most strange and bizarre things I've ever seen. Like, I guess there was a MASH comic at one point in time because they took a still from the comic. And it's got, you know, all the character, you can see like caricatures of the characters from the MASH TV show, Alan Alda. I don't remember all the other actors' names because I haven't watched the show in a while, but it's got like, I guess the colonel going, "I don't have time for your Jesus speech right now." And then Alan Alda's reply is, "That's okay. You'll have eternity in hell." And it's just, there's like pictures, and this is a little morbid, listeners, just a forewarning. There's like pictures of like melting babies and stuff because it's like super anti-abortion and stuff like that. Like it is a fucking wild, like I can't tell if this is a serious account. I can't tell if it's a serious account or if it's like a parody. Almost
like 2000s like absurdist humor, like those weird like Garfield things in the 2000s.
It's fucking nuts. There's like another, some comic of something, I don't know what it is, it just says, "You were wrong, you didn't accept Jesus Christ as your own Lord and personal savior," and it's got like a picture of the devil saying that, and then once again photoshopped pencil drawing Alan Alda over top of that. It says, and with the speech bubble says, "It's true, only a Christian can be a MASH fan."
Gotta be fake,
dude. But it's a like this commitment to the bit is, if this is a bit, they have been doing this for like, there's just one of Nikki Haley with the MASH logo on top of it, there's one of Sarah Palin with the MASH logo on top of it. I don't understand what the fuck is happening. And then the comment before is just, "MASH sucks." I'm so confused by this.
Almost like AI generated.
I don't know. I am beyond confused by it. Oh my God. There's some really dark stuff too. Like this has to be like a troll account. This, like the more I read it, I listeners, don't go to this account. there's like suicide jokes later on. I don't want to read it just because it's a little dark and not, it does not pertain to this episode, but like, sorry for the tangent, but I found that, and I just found it so bizarrely funny. It just, one of the most wild accounts I've ever seen. Anyway, we should get into the show. That was a complete diversion.
No worries. I sent you the link though to Lou Albano's his
I see that. If you do drugs, you'll go to hell before you die. That's insane. I love it. All right, let's dive into this though. Now after that hairpin left turn, Christian MASH, but yeah. So the episode begins with Danny Wells, Luigi and Mario, basically trying to see how neat and tidy their house is, and Luigi plucks like a string of spaghetti off of Mario's overalls out of the blue, and Mario pissed off at that says, "Well, you have spaghetti sauce on your shirt," and they're trying to, I don't know what they're trying to one up with each other. It's very strange, like trying to show who's the more neat, you know. I don't know. What do you think though?
Yes, they're starting off with this whole like neatness counts, saying that that's like a family phrase of theirs, but I think it all goes into what happened later on. It's kind of setting up how absurd their whole situation during this episode becomes, because the more neat they try to be, the worse things get.
Yep, and they take it out on today's guest the guest of today's episode, not our episode, but the show's episode, Nicole Eggert, who suddenly appears in their medicine cabinet behind their mirror, who is checking the expiration dates on their toothpaste.
A kind public service, I suppose.
I think it's just like, sorry.
They're like, "Come on in," and then somehow she just arrives on the set. Like,
wait, I mean, if she's in their walls, Dexter, if she's in their walls, she's already in the house. They don't need to invite her in. She's already found her way in.
This is true. She's like Bruno from Encanto.
We don't talk about Nicole Eggert. But so she needs to find a plumber. And so she sees she has a newspaper from the Brooklyn Times saying that they are the best plumbers in all of Brooklyn. And they promise to help her, but she has to go to a party. But they're like, here, let us show you how good we are at fixing fixing clogged sinks and stuff like that. Now, Nicole Eggert, though, before we get into the rest of like the story of the show, I figured we should at least do some background research on the guest stars in the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Nicole Eggert was famous for her roles on Charles in Charge. That she's been in a lot of different things, but like she was her big starring role was Charles in Charge, where she was on that show for like over 100 episodes. She was on the show for quite some time. Unfortunately, like in more recent stuff, she is one of the people who outed Scott Baio as allegedly sexually assaulting her. I don't know any of the details of it. Scott Baio, as awful of a human as he is, he of course denies it, but that's pretty much all that I know about it. I haven't heard much, but now she is a fellow podcaster. She has a podcast. Hold on, I'll look it up again. I looked it up earlier today, but yeah, she is a podcaster and has had guests on like Alyssa Milano and stuff like that. So that's kind of cool. Her podcast is called Perfectly Twisted, and she interviews other like actors and stuff, especially 90s heartthrobs and stuff like that. You know, people who were like big in the 90s. Alyssa Milano is on there, stuff like that. She was also on Baywatch. She was also on Who's the Boss? Yeah, so I don't have a whole bunch of information on her, but that's just when I first saw this, I had no idea who she was because I've never watched Charles in Charge. I know the song, but I've never watched Charles in Charge.
Yeah, same. And what was interesting is they're like, "Oh, hey, Nicole Eggert, we watch your show all the time." And I was
fans.
Yeah, you guys didn't want to name drop what it was? Like, isn't that the whole point of having a guest star like that?
I guess you're just supposed to know what it is. I'm not quite sure what the show is. But then it does go over to Mario trying to show how good they are at fixing clogged sinks and pipes and whatnot. And Luigi's trying to fix a sink that just happens to be in the middle of their room, of their house, for no reason. Like, I don't even know if it's
any pipes.
There's no water. There's no like water faucet. It just, for some reason, water just comes up from the drain and it ends up spraying Nicole in the face. And I got to shout this out though, dude. I fucking love the set. I love this Mario and Luigi house set. It is so bonkers and silly. Like, there's like a tomato bush in the bathtub in the background. There's so much. I think that's a tomato bush. I can't tell what it is. It's some type of plant that's just chilling in the tub.
Yes, absolutely. And I was going to shout out a couple of things. One, the fact that they insisted on like, let us show you how good we are when she was already hiring them, I thought was kind of funny. And two, I also made note of that, because I'm probably going to keep this going. You know, Captain N did it first. I'm going to go ahead and start doing that here with Mario as well.
All right. Mario did it first.
For two things. One, this set is very much reminds me a lot of Pee-wee's Playhouse. Like, very kind of colorful, playful, especially when they show the furnace later in the episode. And the other thing Mario did first, did you see in the background 2 minutes and 17 seconds in, where the tomato plant and stuff is, they have like a little scarecrow. And
yes, it's creepy.
Just like Woody from Toy Story.
Yeah, it makes me really uncomfortable, actually. I don't like the scarecrow. It's just like, it's got big bug eyes and it's just staring into like the soul of whoever, like it looks like it's staring into your soul, even though it's looking off camera. It's really uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie.
Yes. It's very much I could see it inspiring one of those weird YouTube shows that the kids make nowadays with like, what's that one? Please Hug Me or something like that. That weird internet YouTube show where there's like creepy puppets and stuff.
I've never even heard of this. I don't know if I want to hear of this. I don't know if I want to learn of this at all. You don't need to
dig into that. It's of the same ilk as like your Five Nights at Freddy's and like
okay
things like that okay. being creepy for the generation after us.
Well, back to the show. After that creepy puppet in the tomato plant bathtub, Nicole does get sprayed in the face by the broken pipe. And I actually kind of love it. You could tell that there's a couple things that make me laugh in this scene. One, while Luigi's fixing the pipe, Mario is like almost giving explaining hands. Like, you see what he's doing is, and he's just kind of waving his hands around and like leaning towards Nicole and then backing up and then leaning towards Nicole and backing up. And it's, I don't know. It almost looks like he's like, all right, where do I go in for a hug? What do I do here? At no point do I think he's actually going to try to hug her, but his hands are just like, I don't know what he's doing. It really reminds me of Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell being like, I don't know what to do with my hands. But instead of just lifting them slowly up into frame on the camera, it's just him just shaking them in her general direction.
I think that's part of the, like, that goes back to the charm I was saying of like, Lou seems like such a normal person. I think it's very relatable being awkward like that. But yeah, it's almost like he's trying to figure out how to fill the time. I know that's something that they teach like puppeteers, like don't ever hold the puppet still. They must always be moving. And like,
it makes sense like that,
a puppet.
To make it feel like believable. Yeah. What makes me laugh as well, though, after that, when Nicole gets sprayed, you could tell she's laughing. Like laughing really hard, but they don't have her mic'd, and you just hear Luigi and Mario go, oh, and then it cuts to a commercial break, and we can finally get into the animated story, the animated segment of this show.
Yes, and like a little reprisal of the theme song that shows how they get sucked into the pipes and stuff too. But yes, I feel like I want to, if we had a soundboard for this podcast, I would probably have like the,
Dude, I will find a soundboard at some point and we will start, I'll find something for, you know, with Captain N, it'll just be, what a concept.
Yes.
I kind of want to do that, even kind of like, you know, he's one of your acquaintances. I've only met him once or twice, but Pat Contry over at the CU podcast, all the soundboard effects that he does over there.
Yes, absolutely. Which
I kind of love because it's like, you know, it's a new show type of thing and it just pisses Ian off and it just makes it that much more amusing to me.
Yeah. That's the best part.
But so the cartoon segment opens with Luigi and Mario rescue Princess Toadstool from King Koopa. Obviously, like Princess Toadstool was still Princess Toadstool at this time. She was not called Princess Peach yet. She was still Princess Toadstool, just like King Koopa was not called Bowser yet. It was still King Koopa. And even though, was it called Bowser in the original game or was it King Koopa? Like they like alternated back and forth between Koopa and Bowser for a while, right?
Yeah, they didn't really solidify Bowser for a while, and I think it was Mario 3 when he became Bowser, because all the Koopa kids, including Bowser, were named after musicians, if I remember correctly, like rock musicians, like mm-hmm. Iggy is Iggy Pop, and
mm-hmm.
Bowser,
well, one is like Ludwig is Ludwig von Beethoven.
Not necessarily
rock. It's just music, like composers and musicians and whatnot. Yeah,
right. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure the band Shanada had a Bowser in it, which is
Johnny Bowser Bauman or something like that.
Yeah.
The only reason I even know that, I've never listened to Shanana. Another little side tangent. There's a character on the improv comedy show Comedy Bang Bang. Played by Andy Daly, his character's name is Hot Dog, and one of Hot Dog's goals is that he's a water skier, and he has the world record for skiing on the most things not water ski. So he's like he did water skiing on like Subway sandwiches and stuff like that, like summer or something along the line. It's ridiculous, but one of his other goals is that he wants to become a member of the band Sha Na Na, and he wants to get them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that's like this goal of a character. And I can't even, the places that the show takes this character is insane, to the point where like you can conjure Hot Dog if you say, "What's up, Hot Dog?" And then he suddenly shows up and go doop 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 whoa, and he appears on mic type of thing. It's just, it's bonkers. The show is absolutely bonkers. But anyway, I just, the whole Johnny Bowser, John or Bowser Bauman or whatever the fuck, it just reminds me of that.
I respect that tangent.
But yeah, so they are trying to find some magic that would set her kingdom free from King Koopa, as well as send them back to Brooklyn. And while they're walking across the frozen wasteland, trying to find this magic that's there for reasons, there's a Birdo just flying into walls all over the goddamn place, because even though she's wearing glasses, she apparently cannot see. And what happens is she mistakes Toad for her baby Birdo. Cheep Cheep, I guess, is the bird's name, is her kid's name.
Yes, and we, like, they also give, like, Birdo bird qualities, like little wings, which I don't think that was ever, like, specified in Mario 2, that Birdo was any type of bird at all, right?
Other than shooting eggs out of their mouth? I don't think they've ever... Yeah, they shoot eggs out of their mouth. I don't think they've ever specified if Birdo was a bird. You're right.
Like, I know there was the mishap in the credits where Birdo and Ostro got, like, flip-flopped in the credits of Mario 2. I know that little bit of knowledge, but yeah. No, this Birdo character, they're going for, like, the Looney Tunes speech impediment thing. She does a lot of spitting, but it's just very awkward.
Once again, continuing the trend of having white stuff on faces.
Yeah, there it's is so awkward.
Both on Toad's face and Birdo's face. And I understand it's kisses, so I'm not going to, especially in the context, she's just looking for her baby, so I'm not going to make the go-to joke we have with Simon, but it still is kind of like, come on, man. Come on. What is with this animation studio and white stuff on people's faces?
Yes, and also people may or may not have noticed at this point that Toad's colors are inverted. Where,
oh, are they? I see. I never paid, like, I'm so unobservant that I didn't even notice when, like, Mario changed the color, like in between, like, Mario 1 and 3, how the overall swap colors and shit like that.
Yeah, they've got he's got a red cap with white dots instead of a white cap with red dots.
I did not even notice that in the slightest. I wonder if that stays consistent through the show, or do they swap back and forth and then it's a white cap with red dots later on?
I don't recall. I'm pretty sure they keep it the same, but I don't recall. I think they do change it.
I almost wonder, though, if it was just easier to animate because the red cap would stand out more against the background, you know?
Yeah, that's possible, especially in a snow themed episode like this one.
I could understand that maybe. But so he gets kidnapped by Birdo, and I love the performance of Toad in this episode. Freaking John Stocker is so funny. He's like, "I'm not your baby." I just, the delivery of it had me laughing every single time. "You're not my mommy."
Yes, even he's got like an accent too, which is so funny. Like, it's not like he's from Brooklyn, but he still has like an accent.
Mm-hmm. It's so amusing, man. It's so funny to me. And Princess or Toadstool wants Mario and Luigi to go rescue Toad, understandably. And that's where Mario says the line that I mentioned to you off mic. And I'm probably going to include a clip here where he goes, you know, like, "We'll be up that mountain before you can say spaghetti and meatballs." And Luigi goes, "I can't do that. I'm allergic to mountains."
"Don't worry, Princess. Luigi and me will climb that mountain before you can say spaghetti and meatballs. Mountains."
Yes. There's so many jokes in the show that have me laughing much harder than I ever expected to laugh.
Yes, I will say that we talked about this before we were recording, that before the Mario movie came out in theaters, my son's 4 now, but at the time he was 3. And I was trying to prep him in case he, you know, was ready to go to a movie theater. you know, so he would know the character of Mario and everything. So I would put the Super Show on, but it backfired against me. He just insisted on watching this episode over and over instead of watching more. So he went a while quoting a few things from this episode, including "I'm allergic to mountains," he would insist on telling me.
I can only imagine that if you took him to up to an actual mountain, he'd be too afraid, because he'd say he's allergic to it.
Yes, he would use it like not even in the right context. Like,
I mean,
I'm allergic to mountains.
What is it? Freaking, no, it was weird. So I watched this episode yesterday with my kid, and I watched it again this morning in preparation. And yesterday, she was afraid of the no. Sorry, yesterday she was fine, but this morning she was afraid of the live action segments.
Yes, he would ask me to fast forward those.
It's so weird. Like, she was fine yesterday, and then today she's like, "I don't want to watch this," and would just yeet off. And then the moment the animated stuff came on, she's like, "Okay, this is fine. This is happy. This is home."
Yeah, yeah. We went through the same thing.
It's super fine bizarre
again now, though. Yeah.
So Birdo gets a call. It's apparent that she was looking for her missing kid for a while, so much so that it was on a milk carton in her house, and her phone was ringing, even though it was technically kind of off the hook because it was upside down.
Yeah, I saw that.
But whatever. Though I did notice on the wood like wall behind her, there's a bunch of hearts drawn into it. So this family must be full of love. You know, that's nice.
Yeah, that's true. She's also holding the phone backwards when she answers it.
Yes, just kind of proving once again that she cannot see, because even though she's wearing glasses, like, to me, that would be something like her glasses should have been broken, and that's why she keeps getting confused.
Yeah, that would have made a lot more sense.
You would think. I did notice on the milk carton, it spells it says, "Have you seen this bird?" And "you" is just spelled the letter U. I'm sure
the animators were like, "I'm not writing that whole thing."
That's too much work. They're not paying me per letter.
Yeah, right. Less lines to draw.
So while Toad is running away from Birdo, it cuts back to Mario and Luigi trying to get up to the top of the mountain. They're, you know, jumping over big gaps and whatnot. While they are climbing up, two of Koopa's minions spot them, and they are going to report back to King Koopa. And it has another one of my favorite lines of the entire episode, where I'm going to include the clip of this one as well, where he goes, the minions relay the information that they see the Mario brothers and the princess like going up the mountain. He goes, "Thanks for telling me. Good job. You finally did something right." And they give him like some super honorific title where it's like, "Your mightiest King Koopa-ness," you know, something like that. It's all over the place. It's a really long, I think they say their most extremist and most royal regal Koopa or something like that. And after they give him that compliment, he says, "Watch it, soldier. If I wanted my feet licked, I'd ask for it." And then there's a pause. And then he goes, "Now lick my feet." And then,
"I want my feet licked."
"I want my feet licked." And then then all of a sudden, the two ghosts just come up and start licking his feet mercilessly. It is uncomfortable.
"Well, at last, you two powder puffs did something right.
Thank you, your extremist, most royal and regal Koopa-ness.
Watch it, soldier. When I want my feet licked, I'll ask for it. I want my feet licked. This will be the last time those pinhead plumbers throw a monkey wrench into my evil plans."
To say the least. On top of that, like, if you look at the animation that's happening, it's around 9 minutes into the episode, you just see their heads bopping off, like on screen, off screen, on screen, off screen, while white stuff is just splashing everywhere.
I actually made a timestamp for this in case that was the sound clip you used for the beginning of this episode.
There's too many, like, I was telling you off mic, Dex, I had to go with the intro because it's the first episode, but there are so many clips in here that I want, like, between the allergic to mountains and the lick my feet thing, those were the two in contention.
Yes, and for those that are that have not seen this, but you're familiar with the enemies from Mario, they're the Flurries from Mario Brothers 2, the little like snowmen that are doing this. But this might end up being the thumbnail image right here.
I just them licking his feet. Honestly, yeah. I think that'd be perfect. Let's do it. I think it's settled. That's one of the most wild things I've ever. It's just so silly. It's just absolutely so silly. I love it. And then it cuts back to Birdo force feeding milk into Toad's mouth, and Toad is just so fucking fed up with it. I love how angry Toad is. Toad is just unhinged rage for most of this show.
Yeah, absolutely. His characterization is very fun. Like, he's got like this confidence about him, even though he's got the small stature. He's very much like a chicken hawk, as I like to call it, like from Looney Tunes.
So after that, the bottle feeding scene happens. It cuts back to Mario, Princess, and Mario, Toadstool, and Luigi climbing back up the mountain, where they are suddenly getting attacked by some of King Koopa's like bird bombers. I forget, they call them something. Do you remember what they call them?
Albatross. He calls them like Bob-omb bombers, but they're Albatross in the game.
Well, he calls them something other than Albatross too. Like he calls them Bob-omb bombers.
Yeah.
Hold on. Actually, never mind. He doesn't call them albatrosses or whatever. He does goes, oh no. Luigi goes, oh no, here comes a whole squadron of King Koopa's bomb bombers. Yeah, squadron.
The funny like Italian affectations, which are like totally made up, like squadron.
I also love if you put on closed captioning for the scene here, it goes, Oh no, found us, look out, here comes a whole squadron of Jim Cooper's Bob. Because the clothes, I mean, like I was telling you off mic, the sound mixing in this is a little rough. Like all the dialogue is a little bit too low, which is why I think the closed caption has a hard time. Like the automated closed caption has such a hard time of determining what is actually being said in the episode. It's still amusing, but they have a really hard time in figuring this out.
Definitely. I meant to point out to you when we were talking about Toad before, I apologize to backtrack. 9 minutes and 57 seconds. I wrote my notes. WTF is that cuckoo clock?
Oh my god, I forgot to bring that up. It's just a human head that pops out.
Yeah. It looks like those old Dodo Looney Tunes where like Porky ends up in like Dodo Land and there's like all these weird characters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so silly, man. I love it. It's so silly. And something else I want to bring up, when the bomb first drops, like in the scene we're at now, when the bomb first drops, Mario goes, oh, I was hoping it was a salami sandwich, and slaps it. He slaps the bomb back at the bird.
And it makes the sound of a baseball bat crack. Like so funny. And then when they all start hitting them back, and it sounds like baseball bats. It's so funny.
And what's weird is later on at the end of the episode, another bomb drops and they get no time to react to it, versus now they have like a second or so. But later on, they're like, nope, no time to react to this one.
Yeah, right.
I actually kind of like the plan on this one, because the bombs clearly aren't working. So the birds decide to set off an avalanche with the bombs on this snowy mountain. So Mario, Luigi, and Toadstool have to run away. And that's, I believe that there's a commercial break that happens right here, just to leave the kiddos hanging on the edge of their seat, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. This also probably started the, you know, like our fear of quicksand from watching cartoons like this as a kid. I realized I introduced avalanches to my son, who was like now concerned about avalanches.
I feel like there's so much media in the 90s that just made us afraid of everything that like is not probable. Avalanches, quicksand, like you said, what else, like killer bees and shit like that.
Yes.
Yep. Or anything along those lines. Mario and Luigi find a random door in the side of a mountain to hide out inside, and they're trapped by all the snow that just piled through the door. But coincidentally, they find a fire flower in there, and Mario is able to shoot his way out. Now, while all this is happening, the alarm clock you mentioned before, Dax, the reason it went off is because it's time for Junior's flying lesson. So Birdo is taking Toad up into the air to practice flying. I don't understand how the fuck Birdo can fly. It I mean, I guess it does kind of have wings, but they're so tiny. Like, it's, she's mostly arms. She has mostly arms and very little wing.
Yes, it's like the little webbing things under
like Spider-Man's
arms in like the old Spider-Man comic books when he like glides between the buildings and stuff. While they're trapped, and you know, like you said, they found the fire flower there, which was convenient. I was like, that's very convenient in the middle of all this ice. But then I was like, that would happen in a Mario game. Like, you'd just find a power up of a fire flower anywhere. But Toadstool had to explain to him what it was. So I thought that was interesting. You know, clearly a first episode kind of continuity thing. But they, in order to get up to the fire flower, Mario and Luigi have to like psych themselves up. And so they do something that ends up in multiple of these episodes where they do their little patty cake chant, patty cake pasta man. And like, they do like a Mario and Luigi RPG kind of team up, like a bro team up move. And Luigi launches Mario up to get the flower so that they can use the firepower to melt their way out and, you know, to get out of the being trapped by the avalanche. And we cut to, we also have a moment where we see Bowser thinking he's, you know, victorious. So he's got all the Albatross lined up and he's giving them medals. And I was like, this was really cleverly written. And I believe the writers were, I'm trying to remember.
We mentioned them before, Bruce Shelley and Reed Shelley.
Yes, thank you. But they wrote Bowser, King Koopa says, for being below and behind the call of cruelty, I award you the double cross. And like, all of that was very clever. I actually chuckled when I saw that.
I was just curious, like, what else has some of these writers done? Bruce and Reed Shelley. Reed Shelley, I haven't seen everything, but Reed Shelley, their most recent writing credit was they did Thundercats Roar back in 2020, which is not well received on IMDb. That is has a 2.2 out of 10 stars, and the animation style is kind of in like a Steven Universe style.
Yeah, I don't think it was really hated necessarily for the writing that I know of. I just know that the commercials, people saw the visuals for it and lost their minds before they watched it. I've never seen it, but kind of reminiscent of Wind Waker when that came out.
Yeah, it definitely reminds me of one of those things you cannot assume is rated fairly considering the animation style, because fanboys are angry about anything that's not perfectly encapsulated to their memory of something. What is weird though, Reed's credits, 2020 was the last one for Thundercats Roar. Prior to that, it was 2003. It was a 17-year gap. Gadget and Gadget Tonight, Gadget Tennis, which I think is like a type of Inspector Gadget type of show. Gadget and the Gadget Tennis is what the name of it is. I don't know much about that, but dude's worked on a ton of stuff. He worked on Street Sharks. He worked on Sonic Christmas Blast, Biker Mice from Mars, the Mighty Max cartoon, Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, All New Dennis the Menace, Sonic Animated Mario 3. He works on the Police Academy animated series from 1988.
Man, you could like fill a bingo sheet with just this one writer for
seriously tons of animation credits for just all the licensed properties back in the 80s and 90s. Though he did work on a live action series called Hotel from 1983 to 1988, starring James Brolin. So there's a random
interesting
pull. Yeah, Arthur Haley's Hotel. I don't know anything about it. That's very strange. At one point in time, actually, just to bring this all together, James Brolin, to bring this together with my Still Bonding series, James Brolin was considered for James Bond.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
Obviously, he didn't get it, but he at one point in time, he was considered for James Bond.
I'm going to sound like a total doofus, but he's not British, right?
Nope. there was a time when they were considering making Bond more American to try to appeal to the American audience more, which I'm glad they never did. I think that would have kind of ruined the whole purpose of the show, of the movie series.
I see.
You know, and he also worked on 2 episodes of Matlock. So there we go.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah. Sorry, finish what you were saying though about the you like the line of the oh my gosh, them getting their recommendations and them getting taken away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their commendations, so excuse me.
Yeah, they had that really clever line, you know, being behind and below the call of cruelty, and they get the double cross. But it's then revealed that they survived, so he takes their awards away. And meanwhile, you know, Mario and Luigi, they're still, you know, they still don't know where to find Toad. And that's when they're about to give up. And Mario says, I'd pay $200 for a pepperoni cheesecake, because he's so hungry. And then the baby birdo goes, cheap, cheap. Who called me cheap? I'd pay $300. It's such a dumb joke, but it's still funny. Like,
there's a lot of jokes in here that should be just silly and stupid and not work, and I kind of love all of them.
Yeah.
It just something about it just really works for me. So they do thaw Cheep Cheep, and right at the time that they thaw him is where Toad gets dropped by Birdo, and he uses his mushroom head as a parachute.
Yes, I distinctly remember that's my son's favorite part. He thought that was hilarious when his hat became a parachute. I don't know if, like, you know, he doesn't have the history with the characters like we do. Like, I don't know if that was absurd to him or, like, if he thought it was hair, like, and like, what's happening? I have no idea, but that tickled him. He just always loved that part where his hat became a parachute. And it looks like you could see the tiniest, like, if you were to pause, like, he's almost got like a Lego person head where there's like a little nub on top.
Yeah, there's like nothing. It's almost like he's just bald underneath that mushroom cap.
But I'm on 14 minutes and 32 seconds. There's definitely like a tiny, tiny little nub, unless it's just like the resolution of this, you know, old cartoon. But it looks like there's a tiny nub of either like a tuft of hair or, like I said, like a Lego person nub on top of his head. But yeah, it does look pretty silly, I guess, you know, to a 3-year-old or a 30-year-old, it's pretty silly looking.
I also think it highlights the fact that Toad's head never stays in the same, like, it doesn't keep the same shape. It grows and shrinks in various sizes. It's very bizarre. But so while this is happening, you know, Toad lands conveniently on top of Mario and Cheep Cheep and everyone else. And they tell Toad, why don't you bring Cheep Cheep back to his mom so that way you can finally be rid of her and we'll hold off King Koopa. And Toadstool's like, King Koopa, where? And that's all of a sudden they, you know, they show up and they have to fight them off. And I like Toad's initial response. He's like, he goes from smiling and happy that he's back to immediate rage. He's like, I'm not going back there. I don't want to do this again.
Yes. And this is after he molded his head back into shape too, which is so funny looking too.
It's so silly, man. I love it, but it's so bonkers.
And he has the whole, like, hey, it's me, I mean, you're who she thought I was, I mean, and he does like a whole thing with that too.
There's a lot of good bits in this, like, and it shouldn't be, but there is honestly a lot of fun bits in this. And while that's happening, Mario is using his fire flower to keep Koopa's troops at bay when finally a bomb lands in front of him and it takes away his power. And you think they're surrounded all of a sudden. When they're surrounded, and they're like, oh no, how are they going to get out of this? Well, Toad did make it back to Birdo in time, and she is helping him out by dropping a shitload of turnips on their head.
Yeah, I thought that was strange. Like, I know it's the conceit from the game of like throwing vegetables, but it's like, like, we got to save them. What do we got? We got a bag of radishes. Like, Just trying to think of the planning behind that. Like, what can we do to help them? I got a bag of vegetables here. Let's just throw these. But it works.
That was one of my last notes. I'm like, you're just fucking dropping turnips. That's how they defeat Koopa, is just dropping a turnip on his head. That's all it took.
Yeah. He retreats. He's like, oh no, I got to get out of here.
Now, I got to know, dude, what are these like white henchmen for Koopa? I don't recognize them from any of the games. Am I missing something?
Those are the something? Flurries. They're called flurries. They would skate around in like the snowy levels on Super Mario Brothers 2.
Oh, that's why. Super Mario 2 is like one of the games I'm least familiar with.
Yep.
So do you know what? That's honestly, I was telling you off mic how I did a backlog month. No, it's a big backlog for me. I've never technically beaten the original Super Mario Brothers or Super Mario 2. I've beaten 3, but I use warp whistles. So I might have to like redo some of these for Mario Month, like in another year. Like, I've already done the original games once, and then I did the speed running versions of them. But I think my original coverage of the games is long enough ago now that I'd want to redo them in earnest. No offense to my first guest on that episode, or my guest for those episodes, but like, I was still figuring out what the hell I was doing. So who knows? Maybe I will eventually redo those at some point, and that way I can actually learn what the fuck a flurry is. But so they ward them away, you know, they are able to scare Koopa away with turnips, and that's kind of amusing. And then Birdo invites Mario and Toadstool and Luigi and everyone back over to her house for a thank you meal, and everyone thinks it's pasta. Mario specifically thinks it's pasta, when it turns out to be a worm, and he is not happy about that.
Yet another creature with a Brooklyn accent. I think the worm also has an accent. I'm not spaghetti, I'm a worm.
I actually, you know what? Don't use this as a thumbnail, but at 17 minutes and 7 seconds, there's a really great shot of Mario just looking surprised, and the worm just angrily mean mugging him. I'm gonna send you that picture or I'll text you it. But it's pretty amusing to me, to say the least. And that's how the cartoon segment of the episode ends. They all run away because they don't want to eat a worm, and then it cuts back to the live action segment with Lou Albano and Danny Wells. And they are trying to make things right for Nicole by trying to help her, you know, dry off, because she said at the beginning, I think we forgot to shout it out, but she has a party to go to. I might have mentioned it in passing. I don't remember anymore. Or it might have been one of the sections that I end up cutting out, because a little behind the scenes, listeners, I am all thumbs today. There's been so many flubs on this return to form, but I guess I got to get back into the swing of this. And so they're trying to guide her around to help her dry off and this and that. And at first she's about to sit down in a chair, only to have Luigi stop her because there is a cake in the chair. And then they take her up to the furnace, and then the furnace basically spits out soot all over her. And while that's happening, while she gets soot spit out all over her, Luigi takes the cake off the chair. Smart move. You know, you don't want anyone to sit in it. However, he doesn't put it on a table or somewhere else. He just puts it on the floor. So when they guide her down off the stairs, she steps in the cake. And then there's another chair later on that she tries to sit down with that just has a pizza in it. And
I made note of that. I was like, who keeps putting food in the chairs?
I also noticed, if you looked in between the two chairs, there's just a random toilet. It's just a toilet right behind a giant pipe. And actually, I love the Nicole's like reaction to sitting down in it is really amusing, because like, she, it almost looks like she's like screeching in pain. If you freeze frame around like 18 minutes and 11 seconds, you might have to cycle through the frames a couple times. She looks like a ghost. She looks like a banshee, because the picture quality is so low, you can't make out the details of her face. And all you just see is an open mouth and her hands reaching for the camera. It's kind of uncomfortable looking. I'm not going to lie. It's really amusing, but it's kind of uncomfortable looking.
They did it before the Ring movies.
So she sits in a pizza, and props to them for not making it a butt shot. It's on like her thighs. You know, that's totally something I feel like a like a show would have gotten away with type of thing.
Well, right, but after this, it gets a little awkward because checked IMDb that, you know, I think she was 17 when they filmed this.
Yes, she would have been 17 when they filmed this.
And they attempt to clean her off, and it's very awkward watching these two middle-aged men, like,
it is very, yeah,
borderline groping. Like, they're not, but
yeah, it,
like,
I actually think
out of context, Danny Wells, it would look like
that. Yeah, I actually think Danny Wells and Lou Albano did as good of a job as they could have with the job they were given. Like, yeah, the writers should have never put them in that situation. Right. And so if you notice, like, how the way they are, because they have to, like, they're trying to clean her off, and then they end up just rubbing cake all over her at the very end, right, which out of context, once again, sounds really pervy and kind of awful. But we'll explain in just a second.
Especially,
but when they're
since
doing
she's
that,
laughing while they're doing.
Well, it's because she's going to go to a messy party. So the you have to dress up as messily as possible. So, like, being dirty was perfect for her. She, you know, doesn't matter if she's covered in water and now covered in soot and now has pizza on her pants and all this other stuff. This is all perfect for the party she's going to. And what I was saying was, like, I have to kind of give them props because it's a really awkward situation. And all the when they kind of smash the cake on her, they smash it in. I think they take it with their hands and put it on her shoulders. They only focus on the shoulders, and Danny does, like, one side on, like, her pocket just for a second.
Right.
It's very weird. Like, it's like the whole scene had to be super awkward for everyone involved, and all they do is just focus on her shoulders. So props to them for, like, not being weird and, like, just going everywhere. They're just like, right, you know, this whole thing is fucked up. Let's just put it on her shoulders.
Right. As a, like, I can imagine, like, one of your friends coming in while you're watching this right on that moment, be like, what are you watching?
What kind of porn are you into?
Yeah, like, what is this?
Now, before we head off, Dex, I feel like we should at least talk about the Zelda cartoon snippet. You know, while we try to figure out how to clean up Nicole, you check out the preview for the next episode of Legend of Zelda. And
they would always insert one of those into these episodes.
I genuinely don't know how to describe these because it's all action scenes and no context. You see Ganon take a bit of the Triforce. You see Link getting attacked by a dragon. You see them getting the Triforce back and fighting Ganon. But there's, like, no context for what the actual story of the episode is. I could never follow these previews.
And that's okay, because it's just as absurd when you watch it in all of its context.
It, I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I don't know. I really don't have much to add to it. Like, I know I was saying at the top of the episode we should describe it, but, like, I'll be honest, I'd rather just save it for the Zelda episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. It'll be easier when we do have the context with it. But yes, we get these little previews to get you excited, but I don't know, I can't even think of what to compare it to other than, you know, like that's not even a good comparison. I was gonna say like when games do a commercial, but it's all like CG stuff, it's not actually from the game, it's just like,
yeah, cool,
you know, but that's not even relevant.
No, I guess what we could do, shout out just one thing we found intriguing by the preview. And okay. The only thing I found intriguing, there's two. One, I really like the dragon fight. I thought that was kind of cool. So I'm curious to see how that's going to play out in the context of the episode that we cover in April. And also our very first, excuse me, princess.
Yes. Better get used to it.
It's going to be all over the place.
Between that and what a concept and pasta power. You better get ready for your catchphrases.
All the different pasta power. And they do the patty cake, bake me, whatever. I love all the ridiculous lines from this show. What stuck out? Anything stick out to you though, Dex, for the preview of Zelda?
No, I would say probably just, you know, thinking about being a kid, that seeing what Ganon looked like being able to see that in the cartoon, because, you know, at this age, I definitely was not good enough to make it to the end of the game. So he was kind of horrifying to me as a kid, like that character design. But, you know, having seen other interpretations of Ganon, he's probably one of the least intimidating. Even though he's tall, he still has a pretty lean stature in the cartoon.
I guess, does he have a lean stature? I guess you're right.
I mean, he looks like, he's covered in kind of a wizard robe. Just seems so lank to me, and just kind of, most of it is just mysterious under his robe. But he struck me as being kind of a small...
Most of it is mysterious under his robe.
I said it. I stand by it.
Fair enough. No questions, Your Honor. No questions. Before we wrap up, though, Dex, is there anything else you want to highlight about this episode that we did not go into?
No, I think we covered just about everything I had in my notes, but just being reminded about Do the Mario at the end of these episodes.
Oh, that's how we're going to close out these episodes.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you all for listening, everyone. Do the Mario.
I will say at the very end, are there ever songs that you listen to or movies you watch where like, you have to see or hear a certain part, or like your OCD kicks in. Like I gotta experience this one part.
Is it the Mario song? The Do the Mario?
For me, it's the very end when he strikes a pose. Mario strikes a pose, but like Lou Albano's off balance, so he has to like fix his stance. Like he takes like this extra step. Cracks me up every time. So I have to watch the entire credits when I watch this show. Because I think it's so funny how he kind of like falls over on himself, and they're like, "Yeah, leave it in. It's funny. Leave it in." Like I don't even know if they noticed.
Now I gotta ask Dex: should I end every episode of this series with Do the Mario? Should everyone end like that?
Oh man, that's a good question.
I kind of want to. You know what? Maybe I'll leave it up to a poll. I'll do a poll because there's 2 months in between. Well, actually, like 3 months in between. No, I'm sorry, 4, because it'll be the next Mario episode won't be out until May.
Yeah, that's right, because we got Zelda next.
Or I guess it's three months. Yeah, sorry, 3 months. It'll be 3 months until the next Mario one comes out. So there will be plenty of time for a poll. I will, when this episode drops, I'll put a poll up. I'll at least put it in for this episode, and then I'll put poll up.
I'm always down for doing the Mario, but you know, you said it yourself. There's like over 60 episodes of this bad boys.
Yeah, but it's only once a month. They only have to listen to it once a month.
That's true. I mean, we should all do the Mario once a month, at least.
We got to swing our arms from side to side.
That's how the saying goes. One do the Mario a month, we'll keep the doctor away.
Mario did it first.
That's right.
That's where the saying comes from. It's not an apple a day. It's a do the Mario a day.
Yes.
But precisely. All right. Well, I don't have final thoughts then. Well, we already covered everything what they want to do. Final thoughts. I think this was a great first episode. I actually really enjoyed my time with it. I'm kind of excited for this just because this show... Like Captain N, there was a lot of so bad it's good, but a lot of the stuff ended up just being boring to me after a while. With what I've watched of the Super Show, it's just so batshit crazy most of the time, just mainly because of like the ridiculous Italian pasta puns. It just, I don't know if this show's going to get old. It might after we cover all 60 episodes, 68 or so, but... Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I honestly really enjoyed this. I honestly really liked this first episode. But you know what? I said the same thing at the beginning of Captain N, and we'll see where that goes.
No, this is definitely a solid like pilot episode to really establish what to expect in future episodes. Although, I hope you like pop culture references with pasta puns, because that's what we're getting.
I mean, almost all of the episodes are like they take some common story trope, like, you know, like Shakespeare or like Wizard Christmas of Oz, Carol or some shit like that. And then it's always like, like Koopa Claws. And, or, you know, for the Christmas episode, it's Koopa Claws.
Right.
Yeah. Bahum Koop. Yeah. Yes. Is a line that gets uttered many times. I already covered that that episode once for a Christmas episode, but damn it, we're going to be covering it again when we get to it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So, all right, well, your final thoughts though, Dex?
Yeah, loved it. Can't wait to do more. I'm amped for it. I'm ready. I'm doing the Mario. No one can see me right now, but I'm doing it. I'm swinging my arms from side to side.
we're going to do the Mario until next month. We promise, listeners, you don't have to, we don't have to prove it. We're just going to be swinging our arms from side to side, just excited for the next episode. But yeah, that I think that's it. I think that's all we got on this one. That is the kickoff of our new watch along series. So the Super Mario Brothers Super Show has begun. We will try to get some guests on this. We have a lot more options. We have literally double the length of the show plus all the Zelda cartoons. So we have lots and lots of options for this. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this goes. I'm a little concerned actually now that I'm looking at some of the episode titles up ahead. Episode 3 just has Butch Mario and I guess the son, is it? Hold on. Butch Mario and the Luigi Kid. There we go. That's a Western. But yep. But without the context of the Luigi Kid, you just see Butch Mario. I'm like, what's happening here? But in any case, that's all the time we have for you, Dexter. Before we go, where can the good people find you online and what would you like to promote?
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I won't call it anything but that. But
that's all it is.
Just search my name, DexterMorrill. I'm usually there sharing retro game stuff, my own artwork, sometimes my students' artwork. I teach art as well as make art. So, yeah, you can check my stuff out there. Also, if you haven't yet, go ahead and grab the second Captain N Still Loading podcast shirt. That was a whole lot of fun to make. And if you all hadn't guessed it, it was inspired by the Mario movie poster. But just with Captain N characters, it was a lot of fun to make. Turned out really great. I don't mind saying that myself, but yeah, check it out. Grab one for yourself. That's all I've really got to promote right now.
And links to that, of course, are in the show notes. I have a link to the Still Loading merch store, which has both the original Captain N t-shirt design and the finale t-shirt design. And you know what, Dexter? We may have to do some more for the Mario series. We'll see. We'll see what we can do with it. But of course, for myself, you can follow me on all social media at Still Loading Pod, except for YouTube, which is at Still Loading Podcast. Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, Twitch, all that good stuff. You can support the show in a number of ways. You can give it a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use, because it pleases the algorithm gods and it also makes me feel warm and fuzzy. And I like feeling warm and fuzzy. You can also support the show monetarily by going to patreon.com/stillloadingpod. For $1 a month, you'll get all the episodes like this one a couple days earlier with better audio quality, as well as access to patron voting rights. Like I mentioned before, patrons help me pick out games for like a backlog month. So if you want to help guide the direction of the show, you can also vote in the polls that I put up there. They're at least quarterly. Actually, by the time this episode comes out, there'll be another poll happening towards the end of March, excuse me, beginning of April. So check that out. For $3 a month, you'll get everything I mentioned prior, plus a shout out at the beginning of each mainline episode, if you so choose. Obviously, you don't have to. For $4 a month, you'll get everything I mentioned prior, as well as access to 2 mini episodes every month. And for $5 a month, you'll get all of the other stuff, the mini episodes, the shout outs, the early access, the better audio quality, the voting rights, plus access to Still Bonding, which is my monthly James Bond podcast where me and a bunch of friends bond over 007. And that has been going on for quite some time. The month this episode comes out, actually, when this episode drops, the one that just came out most recently was on Tomorrow Never Dies, and next month's will be The World Is Not Enough. So make sure you go check that out, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. And that is all the time that we have for you on this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Dexter, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And remember, listeners, do the Mario.